The book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter number 10. Daniel, chapter number 10. Jesus, Jesus. Let's start reading at verse number 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Let me stop right here to remind you. You know how Daniel was grew up in Jerusalem, but was kidnapped and captured by the Babylonians. He was taken to Babylon, and there he found favor with the king because of his faithfulness and his praying. He found favor with God. But he fell amongst bad times, as we all know, with those that were jealous of him. But he stayed faithful to God. Oh, there's a lot to be said for people just like me and you that's got problems in this life, but we stay faithful to God. There's a lot to be said for that. Amen. And because of his faithfulness, because of his consecration, his sanctification, he came to a time in his life that God began to use him with visions and dreams, and finding the interpretation of those. And so that's where we find him, Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this words unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the princes of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for another opportunity, for the strength and the ability, this wonderful pastor and this wonderful church. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that not my will would be done, but thy will would be done. Give me the words to say and the blessed Holy Ghost anointing to say it with. Move in our altars, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And the church said, Amen. And so Daniel has a vision. The other men that was with him, they did not see it. Daniel alone. And the strangest thing happened when Daniel saw this vision. The vision is now over, and Daniel is left laying there with no strength. Not even strength to get up. He is left laying there. Now, you know, I don't know how long it took Daniel to begin to pray. I know the way that most of us are. Whenever we have problems, if this would have been us, so many times, the fact is, amongst so many wonderful holiness people, that we, you know, we check this and we check that, and we try a little bit of this and we call that one. We go visit him. We make an appointment with that one. And when all else fails, we pray. Come on now. Now, I don't know how long it took Daniel to pray, but I'd say that Daniel, it didn't take too long, because remember, he had already had so many problems because he prayed so much. You just can't pray too much, can you? Amen. I said you can't pray too much, can you? Amen. And so I can imagine that prayer that Daniel prayed. He just saw this blessed vision, and I can imagine him, man, he's so weak he can't even stand up. Oh, the weakness, the pain, the problem. I can imagine as he buries his face on the ground, dear God, help me! Lord, thank you, Lord. But Lord, have mercy. I need more than the interpretation of this vision. Lord, I'm so weak I can't get up, Lord. I'm in trouble, Lord! Help me! And you know what happened when he got done praying that first day, that first time that he prayed? You know what happened? The same thing that happens to a lot of us when we got problems and we go in prayer. And the first time we pray, the same thing happened to him. He got done praying and nothing happened. He was still laying there weak. He was still laying there in trouble. Oh, I can imagine as he rolls over right there where he is and he sleeps that night, and the next morning comes and the sun is shining and he is so happy to be able to be alive another day. And as he attempts to roll over and get up, he understands he's still in trouble. He is still so weak. He is still so far down that he cannot even get up. And you know what I'd say he did? He prayed one more time. It's day two, and I can imagine maybe this time he shed a few more tears. Maybe this time he prayed a little more earnestly. And when he got done praying, nothing had changed. He was still laying there weak. He was still laying there in trouble. Oh, tell me, friends, have you ever just got to praying and poured out your heart, even maybe shed some tears, just prayed with all you had? And it seemed like that when you got done praying, you still had the troubles. You still had the problems. But Daniel, if me and you could have been there, if Daniel would have been laying right there, and me and you would have been here on that third day, well, by now, maybe even the tenth day, and now it's the tenth day, you know what would have done? Me and you would have came over here and would have said, Daniel, pray on, brother! Pray one more time! Come on, Daniel! Keep on praying! We would have tried to tell him, the Lord's going to move for you, Daniel! But when you've prayed that same prayer 10 days and you have laid there in trouble, laid there so weak for 10 days, it's kind of hard to pray again, isn't it? Oh, Daniel. Keep on praying, Daniel! The Lord's going to move for you! Keep on praying! How many times have we heard the man of God, Pastor Nichols, and different preachers come by and tell us, keep on praying. Pray on. How many times? But every time the devil meets us right there at our prayer closet too, to tell us, are you still praying? Look here, Daniel. You've been praying 10 days. Maybe he's not hearing you. Maybe you've done something to deserve this. Maybe you're just in trouble and can't get out. But I'm here to tell you, pray on, Daniel! The Lord's going to hear you! And so, the 21st day has came. And I just want to preach to you here for a moment about this now. On that 21st day, and he woke up, something to understand is, he didn't know that the 21st day the Lord was going to move. He didn't know that. You see, what me and you have is that holy word of God that has all those promises. Knock, it shall be opened. We have the word of God that teaches us, seek, ye shall find. We have the promise is that if we would ask, we would receive. Oh, yes, we do. But Daniel did not have those words that I just told you. But me and you do. But Daniel, that 21st day has came. And I can just imagine, Pastor, that on that 21st day, the devil, the demons from hell, was there twice as hard as they had ever been. I would say that Satan began to give him even some new reasons of why he shouldn't pray that day. Come on now. You know what they say? It gets the darkest just before sunrise. You ever heard that? Come on now. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Just because trouble's gotten a little worse doesn't mean it's time to quit praying. That's the time to say, hey,
come on.
This might be getting ready to break through.
Come on now.
Come on now. So on that 21st day, Daniel has laid there for 21 days. No answer. He's laid there weak and in pain and all of his problems. No answer. On that 21st day when he rode over, I can imagine all of the doubts, all of the things that the devil is trying to put in his mind. There's a warfare going on in every one of our minds. Amen. There's a warfare going on in our minds. I can't see what you're thinking right now. I don't know how the devil is fighting you. Not even your spouse, not your children, your parents. Nobody really knows what's going on up here. Ah, but I've got good news for you. Pray one more time, Daniel. Pray one more time. This 21st time of praying, it might have been that Daniel just seemed like that he couldn't cry no tears. Have you ever prayed against that spiritual brick wall? I have. Brother, Pastor, I'm going to tell you, there's been times that I've gone to the church by myself as a pastor and as evangelist coming into the sanctuary by myself. Man, brother, there's been times I couldn't wait to get in there to that altar. Man, I felt it. I was just excited. All right, honey, I'll eat breakfast later. Man, I'll tell you what, I just can't wait. Yeah, and I get down there and start praying. Oh, the spirit of prayer. When you pray in the Spirit. Isn't that a one? Any of you ever prayed in the Spirit? Isn't that a wonderful experience? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I've shouted a few hundred thousands of times. I don't know, but I've shouted a few times in the church. But I'm going to tell you, the best times I've had, ain't nobody there but me and the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, that is good. Of course, there has been other times that, now, I'm just being honest with you. I just didn't have time. I had a lot of things get done. It was a busy day. Man, the troubles was just getting so, I mean, I had so many things to worry about and so many things to take care of. But, you know, I know we got to pray anyway. So, all right, I'm going to go pray now, all right. And you know, I'm running out of time. I got so many things going on up here in my head that's just fixing to make my head feel like it's going to explode. All right, well, anyway, Lord, here it is. And you know what? I feel like I'm praying up against a brick wall. You know what you better do when you feel that way? Pray anyway. If you only testify whenever you feel a testimony, you might not never testify. If you only sing whenever you feel a song come upon you, you may never sing. Come on now. Preachers, if the only time you preach is whenever you feel that the Lord has just given you a message for that night, get ready. You might not preach too much. Come on now. You know what? If the only time you pray is whenever you feel like it's time to pray, you ain't never going to pray.
Come on. Come on, brother. Come on now. On that 21st day, I guarantee you, if we could have found Daniel, he could have told us many, many reasons why he just couldn't pray that day.
But that 21st day, you know what Daniel did? He prayed one more time! And you know what? God heard him one more time. And it was on that day that God could see what we cannot see in Daniel. You see, the Lord has given you a promise. There will be no more put upon you. He'll allow no more for you to bear than what you can handle. Come on now. But in every temptation. How many knows discouragement, feeling like giving up, is a temptation? In every temptation, the Lord will make a way for your escape. Come on now. Amen. In every temptation, He will make a way for your escape. So pray one more time, Daniel. And so the Lord hears Daniel praying one more time. And on that 21st day, he can see the future. He knows what tomorrow holds. Amen. Me and you, we know what happened yesterday. We know where we're sitting at tonight. But me and you don't, neither one, know what tomorrow is going to hold. But the Lord knows the future. And He could see tomorrow. He could see inside of Daniel. He knew Daniel has taken enough. So He sends another angel. Michael, go down there and help give Daniel the answer. And on that 21st day, the answer was there! And the angel come up and he touched Daniel, and Daniel stood up trembling. And the angel said, Daniel, stand upright. Don't just stand there, Daniel. Stand upright, Daniel. Stand right there. I have brought to you victory. Here's the answer. Daniel, I've got good news for you. Your prayer was heard the first day you prayed. Come on now. The first day you prayed, Daniel, your prayer was heard. Your prayer was heard. But all the kingdom of Persia, all the wickedness, when I tried to bring you the answer, the angel began to tell, we are in a spiritual warfare. Amen. I believe that we cannot see the angels and see the warfare with our carnal eyes, because the Lord knows me and you couldn't handle it if we seen it. Amen. Oh, the fear that would be in seeing the warfare that is over this church right now. Oh, if we could see the battle that is going on in the air over your pew where you're sitting right now. Oh, your prayer room, whether it be your closet, your bedroom floor, your bathroom, I don't know wherever it is, but wherever it is that you like to pray right here. Oh, if we could only see the battle that goes on there amongst the angel and those falling evil angels that have come to stop the answer from getting to you. I would say it would come as a plumb scare to most of us if our eyes could see over our home. I wonder how many here, you just raise your hand just to give me an idea, that you're saved, but your spouse or the ones in your home, there's somebody that lives in your house that is not saved. Would you raise your hand for just a minute? Quite a few. Somebody that lives in your house that is not saved. Oh, friend. And every day you pray for them, don't you? Every day. Oh, if we could see the warfare that is going on over top of your house. And what about those that have got a good holiness home? It's got everything straight going the right direction. I've got news for you. There's a warfare going on over your roof. Amen. The devil has made up his mind to destroy.
destroy this church, to destroy your home, to destroy your life. The devil is out to destroy us. Amen.
And so Daniel had had enough. And the Lord sent Michael the archangel to go down there and help get the answer through. And there that angel explained to him, Daniel, let me tell you, your prayer was heard from the very first day. Now it's been 21 days, but I've got good news for you. Your prayer was heard from the first time you prayed. And so I've got good news for you. Now you can ask my mom and my dad and my wife, I'm not an angel, but I'm sent from the Lord here tonight to tell you something. The Lord has sent me here to this church to tell you your 21st day is coming. I don't know what day it is in your life, but your 21st day is coming. Pray on. Pray on. It might be day 15. You may have a little bit more praying to do. Of course, it might be the 21st day right here tonight for somebody. I don't know. I just know the Lord has sent me to this holiness church to tell His people, pray on. The answer has already been sent. And when the time comes, the Lord's going to see it gets to you. He knows where you're at. He's heard every one of your cries. He has seen every tear you've shed. And whenever the 21st day comes, the answer is going to be here. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for the promise the Lord has brought to you tonight. Come on and praise the Lord for the promise that the Lord has brought to you tonight. Thank God. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You have received the promise tonight. Your 21st day is coming. Pray on. And so I can imagine the physician saying, Mary and Martha, your brother Lazarus, he's sick. Got a disease of some kind, I don't know, but it's not looking good. He's sick. Those two ladies, you know what we've got to do? We've got to go get Jesus. We've got to go tell Jesus, because you know Jesus cares about us. Boys, we know Jesus cares about us, don't we? Let's go tell Jesus our troubles. Let's go tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick. Because when Jesus knows, and so they go and tell Jesus, Jesus, your friend Lazarus, we've come with bad news. He's sick. It looks like he ain't going to make it. But if you would just come. Come on, Jesus. We've got faith and confidence in you. Have you ever... You know what? I believe that they had all the faith that anybody could have in Jesus when they prayed. Amen? Amen? Some folks have done too much of this, and I'm not going to take the pastor's position anyway tonight, but I'm just going to say this with all the love I can. Some people has watched television and heard these preachers tell them that you have the right to go to the throne room and demand from God exactly what you're going to get, and He's got to do it. And you just send me money and let it happen. Come on now. I believe that nobody that has ever went to those healing crusades had any more faith than Mary and Martha. Jesus, that's our brother. Come. And you know what happened? Jesus got busy healing, touching. You remember, I believe it was right then that little lady touched the hem of his garment on that same trip. Hey, other great things was happening. And he kind of got held back, and he wasn't getting there as quick as they thought that he should. not only not as quick as they thought that they should, but I can just imagine the feeling, the heartache, the hurt and pain that they felt when the doctor came out of the room and said, "I'm sorry, he's gone. He's dead." Amen. And right then Jesus walked in. No. They had the burial. Everything went on. And unfortunately, I have had the privilege of preaching quite a few funerals. And I'm going to tell you, I never enjoyed one. I used to pastor in Illinois in a very small town there where we had one little funeral home there in town. And I became friends with the undertakers, and they was helping me with my church too in this way, that whenever a family would come in, they didn't have a pastor, he would call me in to meet with the family and be able to preach the funeral for them. And I have preached many funerals of people I've never seen before, but I've never preached one that whenever the family at the end, and I hate to bring sad thoughts to every one of us, I'm sure, but at the family at the end comes to pay the last respects to that body. And as I stand there next to the body, I have never been able to stand there, never having seen these people before until just the last day or two, that I could not keep from crying. Because that is the saddest, most hurtful moment. Mary and Martha, they had already had that moment. I'm sure every one of us here has experienced that moment with our loved ones and our friends. That's a sad moment.
Yes,
amen. Understand, friends, he had been buried for 4 days. Amen. He had been buried for 4 days. Now, hopefully, after someone's been buried for 4 days, we're trying to get ourselves back together in our spirits and in our mentality and go on with our life. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. And Jesus comes and he explains to them, "I want you to roll that stone out of the way. I want you to get ready." And they say, "Now, Jesus, why did it take you so long? Why wasn't you here?" He stinketh now. It's been 4 days. Jesus says, "Get it out of the way. Lazarus, come forth." Their 21st day had just arrived. You may be sitting there tonight, and you may be feeling like, "Yeah, preacher, I understand that you're preaching your 21st day is coming, but understand, my time's already passed. It's too late for me." I've got good news for you. Jesus has heard you from the first time you prayed. Your 21st day is coming. It's never too late for Jesus. Jesus will be there. I said Jesus will be right there. Amen. I wonder tonight, Pastor, if it'd be all right, I'd like to just preach a little bit about my 21st day.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you, over 4 years ago, while I pastored in Illinois, I went to visit a man in the hospital, and another man hit me head on, and the paramedics came. I just preached Saturday, that head medic over the scene, his sister's funeral. This was Monday. He knew who I was. There, they pronounced me what they call DOA. Dead on arrival. They wrote out my death certificate. To the best of my knowledge, it is still at the county courthouse in Union County, Illinois. It's still there on file to this day. They wrote out my death certificate, And the county coroner couldn't come to the scene, so the only reason they took me to the hospital was so a licensed physician could sign my death certificate. There on the way to the hospital, they said they heard a sound. They said I made a hiccuping sound. But I want to tell you about a sound that God heard before they heard that sound. They called my wife and explained to her that I had been in a horrible accident and they needed her to come and identify me. They didn't tell her that I was gone. They just said, he's been in a horrible accident. You need to come and identify him. So she immediately picked up the telephone and started calling holiness people across the country. The first one being her daddy, Brother David Miller, my pastor. And he immediately started picking up the telephone and calling some different men of God across the country. And let me tell you something, friend, my God still hears the prayers of holiness people. Amen? My God still hears the prayers of holiness people. Amen? And so, whenever they began to pray, God heard the prayer. And so, he brought life back into my body. You remember the story of how that Jesus walked into the room where the young lady had already died. They explained to him that she was dead. And he said, she's not dead. She only sleepeth. So some people say, well, did you see a bright light? Did you get to see heaven? What happened? Well, understand that when you're absent from the body, present with God. But understand, I was legally dead. Got a death certificate. But I wasn't dead in God's eyes. Come on here now.
Come on. Come on now.
So, unfortunately, I didn't get to see heaven and get to see a bright light and all that stuff. But let me tell you, friend, the Lord said, wake up. And so, after a long stay in intensive care, I was in total stages of a coma for some 8 months, in different stages of a coma. But after a while of being in different stages, I began to get some level of being awake, some level of consciousness. And they still, my friends and family likes to make fun of me because I didn't know who some of them was and I couldn't keep things straight and everything, you know, but I've had a little bit of problem that all my life. My dad, he said, I was making an excuse the other day about something, you know, just couldn't remember something, and I was trying, and then I said this thing, and I wasn't saying it for pity now, it was my dad. I said, you know, Dad, ever since the accident, he said, son, would you quit the accident stuff? Just face it. You're not a young man anymore. But anyway, I had some level of consciousness, and I can remember certain things through that time. The Lord has picked out certain things He wants me to remember. And I want to share a couple of those things with you. I can remember they had brought a hospital bed to the living room of the parsonage there. That's where I was living, laying in that hospital bed 24/7. They would pick me up and carry me into the restroom and bring me back and put me right back there. My mouth was wired shut. And they had put a hole, there was a hole in my teeth, so they could put a straw in. That was the only food that I was getting. I was 90% blind. I was paralyzed on my left side. My family was told I would never see again. My family was told I would never walk again. I would never be able to sit up on my own again. My family was told, because my jaw was crushed and now all wired shut, that I would never be able to speak again. And even if I did gain use of my jaw where I could speak, I would never have the mentality to speak in complete sentences again. Ah, friend, I can remember what it was like, that even though I could not seem to get everything straight sometimes, I still knew how to pray. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I prayed not one time, not 1 hour, not just 1 week, but every night, every moment, I would lay there and I would cry and I would pray. I remember what it was like to lay there wishing so bad I could pick up one of my little kids. We have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. At that time, I think they was 3 and 5 or 4 and 6 or something like that. And I wish so bad I could just roll over and hug them and say, I love you, and see them one more time. But I was laying there in excruciating pain 24 hours a day. And I would lay there and pray and pray and pray. But still, nothing would happen. The Lord sent man of God to me, just like He has sent me to you tonight. The telephone rang. My wife answered it, and she brought me the cordless phone and held it up to my ear there. I could barely speak, and mouth wire shut, and I couldn't open my teeth. So, well, he said, Brother, this is Brother Ben Shaw's, who it was from Arkansas. I don't know if you all know Brother Shaw or not, but he said, this is Brother Ben Shaw from Arkansas. I was just down praying, and God spoke to me and told me to pick up the telephone and call you and tell you He sees that you're battling with great depression. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. It was that night that I had prayed for many hours and cried that God would just let me die. The pain, the horrible situation of just laying there. I'm going to tell you, I had not sinned, but I was battling with depression. I feel like preaching right here. I'm preaching to you right now. You hear me? I said I did not sin, but I was battling with depression. You don't have to sin to get discouraged. You don't have to do something to deserve it to be battling depression, discouragement, and nervousness. Amen? But friend, it is the ploy of the enemy to get you so discouraged, to get you so depressed, to get you so nervous. Ah, friend, I want to tell you that Jesus hears every cry. And so that day, Brother Shaw told me, the Lord sees that you're depressed. And the Lord knows what you're feeling and what you're going through. But I've called you to tell you, you don't have any reason to be depressed. The Lord said, everything's going to be all right. The Lord said to tell you, everything's going to be all right. He's going to bring you out of this. Everything's going to be all right. And you know what? When I hung up with him, I was still laying there. The next day, I prayed that same prayer. I wasn't praying for the Lord to let me die now, though, because the Lord, whenever Brother Shaw told me what the Lord had told him to tell me, that was the Lord speaking, peace be still unto my heart. And the raging waters that was going on in my head, the Lord said, peace be still. And so it was then that I felt better in my spirits that I've got the promise. But you know what? I prayed it again, and I was still laying there. Now I'm telling you tonight, friend, the Lord has sent me here for you to tell you everything's going to be all right. He's heard you every time you've prayed. He's heard you. Amen? He's still in control. I want to tell you about my 21st day. They was in revival up in at our home church in Cincinnati, and we was in Southern Illinois at that time. And I had a very good friend. They had already put me in the nursing home, understand, for some time. And they had brought my wife and went in and signed all these papers to get me out of the nursing home against the doctors and attorneys and everybody's wishes and demands and commands. She signed the paper understanding she was totally liable and brought me out of the nursing home. And whenever she went there, one of our good friends, a preaching friend of mine from Oklahoma, I don't know if you all know him, he's about my age, an Indian boy named Kevin Webster. You all know Brother Kevin Webster from out in Oklahoma. He came there, and he's the one that pushed me out of the nursing home. I asked him about that the other day. I said, now, Brother Kevin's a very serious fellow. Never makes any jokes. Real serious. And so it kind of shocked me, man. I can't believe you said it. I said, Brother Kevin, I was preaching the other day, and I was telling about how that you pushed me out of the nursing home. Then I thought, I can't remember that. Did you really push me out of the nursing home? He said, you know, Brother Doug, I can't remember either if I did or not. I just know this. I push you around every chance I get. So I probably did. He never makes jokes. But anyhow, he had helped my wife bring me home from the nursing home. And he had now been up in Cincinnati at our home church in Revival. So my wife, some of the men in the church helped her get me loaded up in the van and took me back home to the home church for a night of meeting there. When he got done preaching, they had brought me, I had gotten where I was using a walker, and I would use the walker with one hand and drag myself, and I couldn't do it by myself through the church, so they had to kind of carry me and help me up there. And they came and got me, and I was sitting right here on the front seat on this side, and they brought me up here, right here, and the holiness people of God prayed for me one more time. Now I'm going to tell you something that they didn't know that night. That night, it had been a long drive coming from Illinois. The pain was really bothering me. I was really tired. I'm just telling you the truth. I just didn't want to be there. I just didn't want to be there. When they came to get me and said, come on, Brother Doug, we're going to pray for you. I was thinking to myself, all right, I sure don't want to do this. I had done this over and over again at other places around us there, and they brought me up there one more time. One more time. And let me tell you, friends, as they brought me up there, I don't even know who it was, but somebody said what Jesus said in the last chapter of Mark. Mark 16, I believe it is. They said, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Man, that went right through me. Man, that sounds like a promise, Lord. And so those holiness people that had prayed time after time after time for me, I know we have prayed over some things hundreds of times, thousands of times. Let's pray one more time. Whenever your children, their life is over, they'll be so thankful that mommy, that daddy prayed one more time. Amen! If you only knew where your spouse is feeling in their heart and the rage going on in their head, would you just pray for your loved ones one more time? Salvation, problem solving, way making, financial needs, whatever it is, let's pray one more time. And so they laid hands on me and they prayed for me. And man, they got done praying for me and they took me back and sat down there upon the seat. And I was just sitting there, and my younger brother, he's an evangelist as well, Dwayne Cornett, he was up singing this song. Maybe you've all sang it up here. I don't know about There's a Miracle in the Making for You. Well, this was my paralyzed arm, that one right there. Well, I didn't realize that my wife was sitting right here next to me, and he was singing that song, and I was feeling such a blessing from the Lord. I was feeling more of the Spirit than I had felt in a long time. And I just raised up that arm, not even realizing it was my left arm. And I started praising the Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus. I believe you're going to do a miracle for me, Lord. And while I'm saying that, my arm's up in the air.
Yeah.
Well, I looked up on the pulpit, and there stood Brother Kevin. And you all know my wife's brother, Brian Miller. He came down here a while back with you all. You all remember Brother Brian?
Yeah.
Well, him and Brother Kevin, that's my wife's brother. And they was standing up here on the pulpit, and they noticed my left arm was up in the air. Well, I didn't even think about it being my left arm. And Brother Nichols, I'm telling you, Pastor, you know what they did?
Brian looked down there and he went, look at that, Kevin. And they started laughing and looking and pointing. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, are they making fun of me? What's going on? Well, they went and got Brother Miller. Brother Miller was standing way over there. Brother Kevin went over there. Brother Miller. He got Brother Miller. Come over there. Brother Miller came over. And he went all the way to the end of the pulpit. I'm like, man, what's their problem? Well, Brian, you know, he's a smart one. He realized I had no idea what was going on. And he started pointing at his hand and pointing at me. And, man, I looked up and I was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. So the only thing I knew to do was I was born in that church. I had friends sitting all over the place. So I started waving at them and smiling. Well, you know, they just waved back. Finally, I waved at my good buddy sit up on the pulpit. Now, he was even more noticeable of something than anybody else was. Maybe you've already noticed it. I don't know. I was waving at him, waiting for him to wave back at me, and he went, you see me? You see me? And then it hit me. I said, Missy, I can see. I said I either got healed of blindness. You know who the Lord has sent here tonight to tell you it ain't over. He's still in control. Your 21st day is coming. He sent an old preacher that used to be in the nursing home, that used to be blind, that used to be crippled. That was told I could never sit up by myself. That was told I could never even talk again. To tell you, your 21st days are coming. Your 21st days are coming. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. Holy.
And so the whole church began to worship the Lord and thank Him that I could raise my left hand and I could see again. Blinded eyes were healed. I'm telling you, Pastor, there was no TV cameras there. There was nobody throwing $100 bills at anybody. But I'm telling you the truth. My Jesus can heal blinded eyes. He can heal the paralyzed. Jesus is still a healer. Come on and let's praise Him. If you believe He's a healer, come on and praise Him.
Glory, glory. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what your problem is tonight, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus can take care of it. Jesus can take care of it. Your 21st day is coming. Your 21st day is coming. Ah, Daniel, come on and pray one more time, buddy. This might be the day. Daniel, pray one more time. Thank God for those people of God that prayed for this boy one more time. Thank God for a mommy and a daddy, my family and my friends that gathered around me one more time and prayed one more time for me. Thank God for it. And so we had praised God for some time, for my arm being up in the air, for me being able to see. Pastor Miller got up after a couple hours and went by, and he went to dismiss. Pastor Miller said, now let us all stand and be dismissed. Once again, without thinking, my walker was right there. I was unable to stand up unless I had to hold my good arm on that walker. I stood up. My wife grabbed me. Doug! I said, honey, let go of me. I did that without even thinking. Missy, look at me. I'm not falling, and I'm not holding on to that walker. And right then, there began a great battle in my mind and in my heart. Something was saying to my heart, Doug, walk. Doug, it's time to walk. But something was in my mind saying, Doug,
Your mom and dad is sitting behind you. If you fall, they will be so scared. They've been through enough, Doug. Don't scare them. Sit down and be satisfied with what you got. And so, you know what I feel? I feel like saying tonight is this. The Lord will speak to your heart and let you know when it is time to take the step of faith. And what every aspect of your life, as the daddy and the mommy of your home, as that boy and girl in school, that man on the job, that lady doing her best with the home, that pastor of our church, whoever you are and whatever it is, there's going to be times that the Lord is going to lay it on your heart to take a step of faith. Come on now. Not that you know how that step is going to be, but something in there saying, it's time to take a step. It's time to take a step. And so it was in my mind so hard. Don't do it. Be satisfied with what you got, Doug. Don't do that, Doug. But I said, in the name of Jesus, I was crying, not of joy of being able to see with my hand being able to raise. I was glad of that, but that's not why I was crying right now. I was crying right now because I was so scared. I was going to fall. In the name of Jesus, I took a step, and I didn't fall. Now, you know what? It wasn't a pretty step. If you all notice me walking around, my steps still aren't real pretty. I don't get to play ball like I used to love to play with all my friends and run and ride bicycles and stuff anymore. My steps still aren't real pretty. But you know what? I didn't fall. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, I took another step and I didn't fall. And so, in the name of Jesus, I took another step and I didn't fall. Friend, let me tell you, that's been, I don't know, 3.5 years ago, I guess. I'm still stepping and I still ain't failed.
Come on.
It may not be real pretty, but I like every step. I'm still stepping because the Lord is still a mighty healer. He is still in control. And thank God, my 21st day finally came. Yes, I wish it would have been 21 days according to our calendar, but it was a lot longer than that according to mine and your calendar. I wish it had been 21 minutes. I don't know the Lord's calendar for your life. But I am telling you under the authority of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Lord has sent me here,
yes,
to tell you tonight. Your 21st day is coming.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
If you're an old time holiness child of God, no matter how young or how old, the Lord is hearing every prayer.
Yes, He is.
And He always takes care of His own. It ain't time to give up. It's time to pray a little harder. It's time to pray one more time. Now if you have troubles and everything's gone wrong, don't give up this battle. It can't last very long. Don't ever doubt Jesus. Just remember that He cares.
Yes, come on.
Hold on till He answers.
Hold on.
Pray right on. Cause He will be there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, He will be there. When all your hope is gone. Although sometimes it'll seem that He's waited so long, but He knows what's best for you and
for me. Just remember, he cares.
Hold on till he answers. Just pray right on, 'cause he will be there. Your 21st day is coming. Let's all stand. I apologize for the length, but I'll tell you what, friend. I've had the opportunity and pleasure to take what the Lord has done for me different places, but never quite to this feeling that I know, just as sure as I'm standing here, the Holy Ghost has sent me here tonight to tell you, pray one more time. Pray again. Your 21st day is coming. So I'm going to tell you, roll up your problems. Roll up your troubles. Roll up what's got you down. And bring it up here to this altar. And when you come, there's something I want you to remember when you come. This is one of them promises. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that all things work together for good. And so I hope tonight that whenever everybody gets up from this altar, you get up and can't even walk back to your seat. You're so happy. You just got to run a little bit. Man, I hope that you get up and you're absolutely got victory. I'm telling you, the Lord could do it tonight. Yes. If He's ready, man, we're ready. If the Lord was ready, are you ready? I'm ready. Amen.
Yes.
But you know what? It might be that you, I hope not you, but it could be you, whenever you get done praying and you get up, you'll still have the same problems, the same trouble, the same worries. You'll have the same things. Hey, you just remember, all things work together for good. Amen? Your 21st day is coming. You know what? And I thought about this just the other day because a friend of mine said it to me, and I thought, man, I never thought about that. You know what, Brother Nichols? If I had not had those bad days, me and you might have never been friends. We might have never gotten together like this. But you know what? Me and you are together. God's using me because I had some trouble, but it all worked for the good. I'm telling you, friend. Would I be willing to go through that again? Ain't no way, man. But I'm telling you what. I'm glad I did. Because I'm glad that sometimes it's a battle. And there's so much pain. But there is a reason. It's not all in vain. Maybe you can help someone with the load that you bear.
Right. Oh, yes, so true.
Just hold on till He answers. Pray right on. Because He will be there.
Yes.
I'm glad for you that I carried that burden. That now I get to be in this gorgeous church. I get to be an evangelist for a great man of God like Brother Nichols. And I hit the pleasure of standing in the midst of you and tell you, your 21st day is coming. I stand here as proof to you, God still does miracles. God still does what me and you think there ain't no way can be done. God still does it. Amen? Good news, friend. Your 21st day is coming. And all things work together for good. Bring all your problems up here. Now, I'll tell you what, there ain't a bit of thing, nothing wrong. I don't even know how y'all pray my first time being here. Y'all might pray right there at your seat, most of you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But don't you like to do everything all the way?
Right.
My dad had this old saying, if it's worth doing halfway, it's worth doing all the way. Amen. Let's do it the best we can. Everybody here, that you've got problems, that you've got troubles, that you've got needs, desires, and requests before the Lord, I want you to drag them up here and come up here to this altar. Stretch out here, this altar, this front, these front pews here. Everybody that will. Nothing wrong with praying right there, but you ought to just pray. Let's just do it all the way. Let's just do this right. Come on and bring every bit of it. Come on and bring all of it. Thank God. Bring every bit of it up here. Come on, friend. Bring all of it. Come on. I want you to bring everything. And remember, He cares for you. Bring it all up here. Your 21st day is coming, friend. Let's pray one more time. Come on and pray about it one more time. Come on and let's pray about it one more time.